Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study. Today we're going to continue in this little series that we got called Not Yet Complete in Christ. And we've done it in the last year. We're doing it again, but this time it's got some additional things in it. And we'll talk more about that shortly, but I want to tell you about an individual I talked to yesterday. I got a phone call from my old rhythm player, who was a retired lieutenant colonel out of the Air Force. I hadn't talked to him but twice, I guess, since we graduated from high school. He called me up and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" "Great." He said, "I'm calling you in reference to our old drummer." The drummer lived down here in Orange Beach. He's not a drummer anymore. He was a truck driver, owned 5 or 6 trucks. He's all beat up now. He kind of caught me by surprise because I hadn't talked with this guy since the late 60s. That's a long time ago. And then all of a sudden he calls the other fellow called me and says, "Please have Byron call me. I want to talk to him." Well, I think the reason being is his son has got lymphoma. He's got a tumor right here. And it's just like Trish and I were talking yesterday. Somehow, I believe this, people who preach the word, or preachers in general, even if they don't teach the truth, the congregations, the assemblies are just people that just walk off the street. Think you got a better direct line to the Lord than you do, than they do. Yeah. Don't they? Yeah. We don't have a better line. I don't have a more direct route than you do if you're saved. Because if you're not saved, you don't have a route at all. But I think that's what he needed some comfort. He needed some comfort. So we talked a long time there. It was one thing I hadn't talked to him since sometime in the late 60s. Wow. He's all beat up. He's got an artificial desk, artificial knee. I mean, done everything. He's on two canes. He's got all. I said, "Shane, this old boy was, I mean, huge." And now I see him, he's 64. But I told him we would be praying. His son's name is Eli Phillips, who lives in Ozark, Alabama. And I sent him to my doc in Montgomery. Y'all heard me talk about that. So the greatest physician, of course, is the Lord, and that's who's going to take care of the situation. And but anyway, I told him that I would ask y'all to pray for his son and for him. Now, we got into a few things. The guy's a Bible believer. He sure is. He's lost. Oh man, this guy loves the Lord. He does. I mean, he told me he said, "I bought all my children the Bible CD. I listened to it for 20 years driving on my truck cross country, da 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 da." But he said, "You know who John Hagee is?" I said, "Yes." And he told me, he said, "I've been baptized." And he says, "My wife wants to be baptized." I said, "Is she a believer?" "And she trusted the gospel." I gave him the gospel. I didn't tell him what it was. I said, "Has she trusted this?" He said, "Yeah, she wants to be baptized. Matter of fact, I might just come over there and let you baptize us both." I said, "You've already been baptized." "I know I have." And I gave him 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And he said, "She's already baptized, but she wants to just to make sure." Holy mackerel, she's lost. I mean, I didn't even talk to her.
Only one baptism.
Anyway, great fella.
Yes. Did you ever think about this way? Maybe the Lord led him to talk to you after all these many years just so he could learn.
Yes, I did. That's why he called. He don't know that.
Baptize him in the word. That's all.
He's right back to him. I wouldn't want to baptize somebody for $1 million and they need the money to finish the church. I just go against my grain. I just couldn't do it. But anyway, let's be praying for both of his family and everything. Good people. Robert brought this, and I'm just going to make a small comment on it. We were talking about this one all Nestle How do you pronounce it? Land?
They could call it the Nestle Island. But it's the same family as the Nestle.
Greek, English, New Testament. Mm-hmm. Now, the books that Job went over on that Bible code stuff and was come out of Nestle's and all these different versions and stuff. But I will tell you something about that. The King James Bible is written on sixth grade reading level. Mm-hmm. Now, we had an individual come in here with one of Harry's friends, and he wanted to show me about all these different chapters and what it meant, and oh my God. So I sat down at lunch. We had it. I might remember him being in here. He was just weirded out, showing me all kinds of things. It was prophetic based upon the number of chapters here and how your name was spelled. And God didn't complicate the King James Bible. There is no special code. Do you think that those people who lived back in 1900 who had the King James Bible didn't get what they needed? They had to wait to the computer age so somebody could run a code? That's crap. Yeah, I said that on national television.
Say dumb like Paul.
But it is. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
That's a Bible word.
I don't understand people. Always searching, just like those people on Mars, he never coming into the knowledge of the truth. I think that's all I've ever seen. I know Brother Carson was like that. He had itching ears. He wanted to hear something new. He followed Roger Truist.
Still does.
Still does. Picking up Paul in the Old Testament. Because it was new. I didn't say the man wasn't saved, but he's got where he's at, and he's never going to progress further. But here's what, and I appreciate Robert Frank, just listen to this. Let me just read one little part of a paragraph. The text shared by these two editions, talking about this Greek New Testament, Greek English New Testament. The text shared by these two editions was adopted internationally by Bible societies and following an agreement between the Vatican. Vatican just got to talking about that. And the United Bible Societies, it has served as the basis for new translations and for revisions made under their supervision. Under whose supervision?
The Vatican.
This marks a significant step with regard to interconfessional relationships. It should naturally be understood that this text is a working text in the sense of the century-long Nestle tradition. It is not to be considered as divinity, but as stimulus to further efforts for defining and verifying the text of the New Testament. In other words, the New Testament, what they're saying, has not been completed.
Right.
It's not finalized. Based upon their interpretation. That's all I want to read about it. Don't put no trust in it.
If you sit and you can go sit in Olive Baptist Church and listen to a service, and you wonder, what in the world is this guy? Where is he getting this? Where is he getting? Because you look at your King James text, and he's preaching out his NIV. They just oppose one another. And it's just...
Well, on that note, Jim, my buddy that I was just telling you about, his name is Steve. I told him I was appointed by Brother E.C. Moore to take his church. And then voted on, and then we came in as the pastor. He said, what church is that? He said, I watch one on television. I was like, maybe he's been watching it. This was before I found out it. He said, I watch every Sunday. I watch all the events.
Oh.
Well, you know, I killed him because I ain't talked to the guy in probably 45 years. What am I going to do? I did tell him the gospel. Hopefully, there'll be another time. It just wasn't right.
Time to tell a real quick story about when I went to Olive Baptist.
Yes, you did.
I went with a friend, and we walked in kind of a side door, and there's a shelf there, and there's probably 50 different Bible versions on the shelf. And we looked at each other, we opened each one and put a track in it. Then we walked around, and there was an elevator that went up to the conference room. We went up in the elevator. We wrote Bible verses on their whiteboard about salvation, KJV only, and then we left. So Who knows how quick that mess we started, but that was fun.
Well, it gets me. It gets me. We had a friend. Actually, they came out here once, and they liked it, but it wasn't enough. They used to come to EC's church. They used to go to Clint's all the time, and they even quit going to Clint's. But they weren't in the King James. Then they got into the King James, and the last time I saw them was over at Clint's many, many years ago. They were out of that. And he goes to Olive. He works in the video graphics or something there with the church at Olive. They heard the truth. But tell us your story this morning. Leo.
Oh, no, it was this morning, yesterday.
We were just flipping through the channels and
he said, stop, you got to watch this for a while.
Stop, you need to watch that.
So we ended up watching Olive Baptist year-end financial ministry service. And, you know, after a little discussion, he had everybody in the congregation get on their knees, and they were praying that they would be blessed financially and that the tithes would be more than adequate. They only need $7.4 million this next year. So
that's
a small talk.
Let's see if we can raise that money.
Okay, guys, it's time to hit your knees. Really?
There's someone on Craigslist looking for a large frame.
Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K. Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K.
It's New Living Bible. Maybe we can help them out with the King James Word
Translation. Well, they need to go to Samuel and see what that woman is called in there.
It's a bad word.
When you're lost and you don't know Christ, you don't know where to begin. You just fall in a trap wherever you fall in that trap and under the false teaching. And that's all you know until you can. I was under it for 30 years. I know what it's like.
Okay. I'm just going to write some up here, whatever comes to my mind.
While he's writing, I was surfing the channel the other day, and this black guy came on it, Creflo Dollar.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen him twice, and I like to teach him Paul, the Dispensation of Grace. I don't know what else he teaches.
He ain't good.
No? Okay.
No.
Don't watch
his name's Dollar.
I asked Namor to give you a clue. Yeah.
He didn't ask for a dime. He teaches Paul, only Paul, and as compared to Matthew, Mark, and John. This is not the same. Just what we're teaching.
There's a Spanish evangelist named Cash Luna. That's all they want. Cash. Dollars. It's all they talk about is money. Give me money.
Well, there's some sort of preacher right here in the morning class locally on the CB radio, and he's wanting you to repent and be baptized. I keep talking to him, but I can't get his information. He won't give me a phone number or an email or anything to get a hold of him. So.
Yeah. Well, here's what we got, guys. I want to give you, and everybody pretty well knows this by heart, it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust. Now, I absolutely believe, I mentioned it the other day, something called transdispensationalism. In other words, but I don't like using that word. I like to use there's an application for every scripture in the Bible instead of transdispensational. It's just like I told you, the birth of Christ, it pertains to us in this dispensation. It pertained all the way back because he died for those people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you can just keep that in mind. Now, this right here is something about being in Christ or being in the body of Christ. Now, they're not the same because there were people in Christ before Paul, as we know. Who was it, Andronicus and Junior, something like that? Anyway, there were people in the scripture very well tell you this. But one of them is this. Those people in Christ, before the body started with the Apostle Paul, because it did It says Paul was the first in 1 Timothy 1:16. He's the first and he's the pattern. There were people in the body before. But in Christ. But they were in Christ redemptively. Not positionally. Now look, how do you get, they're looking for it in the future. We're going to go over this. But what is positionally? We've covered it 100 times. Positionally, and I'm just going to use this right here. God's righteousness. God's righteousness is placed upon your account the moment that you trust the finished work of the cross, which was Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead, and that won't get it. But it's got to be for the forgiveness of your sins, according to the scriptures, to justify you. Then, if you trust that, you are saved forever, eternally.
Let's say it's not finished. You get the justification. The rest is history.
But it was true at one time for other people. Those in Christ before, all they had to do was trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that. If you do, you're going to bust hell wide open, and that's not good. But the moment you trust, you are as righteous, 100% righteous, as Jesus Christ and God Himself. We're complete. Those other people aren't. If they were complete, you wouldn't wait until the second coming to get their atonement. They can't go up with us at the rapture. Why? We're going to the judgment seat. They're not. They're going to be over. We're going to cover it all. I'll get out of secrets here. But the thing is, we are going to the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the Bible says. They're going to be judging 12 times in the millennium. But I want you to see this. And in your seal, we don't live this way, but our whole flesh, our carnality, we're in and out and so forth. We're supposed to try to parallel this. I liked, it was over at Richard's the other night. Boy, I just love this. This is a good thing. You always want people to tell you how to live. Don't you? All the Baptists want people to tell you and show you how to live your life. Quit your smoking. Quit running around. Don't even think about having a beer. Say a nasty word. Well, all those are good things, but it's not for your salvation. It's for your edification, your health, and so forth. But I remember Carrie was a big one. Y'all remember Carrie and Nathan? She was, teach us how to live, teach us how to live. She came out of a Baptist church. Richard said it so well. He said it's like this. You breathe in, and you breathe out. That's how to live. Ain't that right, Mary?
Yeah, I know it.
That's what he said. You still with that, Richard?
Oh, yeah. It's all doing it.
Is that not good? Because what does it say? All things are lawful unto me. Twice. But they're not expedient. They're not good for you. But it didn't tell you you couldn't do them. Because you know what? Before the foundation of the world and before the very first grain of salt was ever spoken into existence, God knew just how sorry and low down and hell deserving you really are, and so am I. But not earned. Now get that example.
But if you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you how to live. I mean, you don't really need
somebody. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Mm-hmm. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal life is a gift. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You don't work for it.
See, when Paul went back to the 12th to explain that last part of the justification and him being the first, it was so radical they had to work it out. They had to kind of, you know, give him the right hand of fellowship. It was radical. So when you're talking to people who are steeped in religion, you can say, look at Jesus Christ died. That's historical. We all believe that. He rose from the dead. But for one reason. That's what Paul had to bring to the picture. The reason that happened. Okay? Yeah. And that's the radical difference. See that.
Why don't you go? I just want you to see this now. This is your position. People don't have that position. They had to, according to the scripture, now go over again. they had to endure until the end of their life. If they didn't, they lost it.
Times were refreshing.
And they could not be enlightened once they had re-enlightened, should I say, after they had been enlightened. Go over to Peter. 1 Peter. Well, this right here now, or for those people right here, let me clarify that. These over here had to be identified with the Messiah to be in Christ. Ready?
And become part of the economy and do everything and be in
common. They know all things in common, sell everything. I don't see nobody doing that today because they don't really believe it. First Peter chapter 2, guys. In this right here, you got a lot of people who believe this in Christianity, Christendom. In verse 5. Peter is telling these people, who's he talking to in verse 1? The strangers scattered throughout Galatia, Bithynia, and so forth, okay? Paul run them off from Jerusalem because he was after he was hunting them like George hunts there. He wanted them dead. So they scattered. So Peter is talking to these people. In verse 5, he says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Go to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. I'm going to stop there. This holy priesthood was for the little flock that one new nation. Has not one thing to do with you over here. You go back, we're not going there. Well, you can go over to Leviticus and find out. And we are going to talk a little bit about it, but go over to Revelation. Chapter 1.
By the way, we had Revelation into that financial talk over here the other day. It's pretty interesting.
Verse 6. I think I'll read verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Well, you know, Jesus Christ did that. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He said that you are now a priest. You're never called a priest. Ever. Not in these books. This is Revelation. Who's that written to? Israel. It's prophecy. Now, go over to chapter 5.
Revelation?
Yep. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Well, they all read 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, I think. Verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In earthly places in Christ. No, heavenly places. There's an earthly ministry and there's a heavenly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just happen to be in his heavenly ministry after he was resurrected from the dead, sitting on the right hand side of the Father. Is he resurrected from the dead, sitting on the right hand
side? Pegue. Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K. Pegue. Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K.
In the sight of the Father, for Peter and the little flock, absolutely, but not in this case. It's for earthly things. Guess what? They're coming back and ruling on this earth. What did it say? Earth. We're not. We're definitely not. Go over to Exodus chapter 19. Let's see what he said.
This teaching that you're teaching right now is so different from all the churches.
That's right.
All call us that we're going to be kings and priests on the earth. But you know, according to the Old Testament, it's the Jews that's going to be reigning on the earth.
Well, that's right. This is going to tell you who this is to. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Well, I gotta read 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Remember the plagues? And how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, who's he talking to? Israel. Ain't he talking to a Gentile? And keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. He's talking to them as a peculiar people.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. And you shall be unto me a what? Kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto who? The Gentiles, the children of Israel. It don't get no plainer. I didn't pick and choose what to use as far as, well, let me show you this about Israel. If you can find one about the Gentiles, you can show it to me. We'll change our mind on it. It's not in the Bible where you're going to be a priest of any kind. We know that Jesus Christ, based on Hebrews chapter 8, is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the Levitical priesthood. Another story. We're not going into that. I ain't got time for that. I don't mean that in a negative thing. Now, let's look at something. All this should pertain to something.
That really sounded great when you said, for all the earth is mine. Right now, Satan is ruling the earth.
First and second heaven.
But the earth belongs to God, not to Satan.
You got that. Priesthood. Little flock.
Right.
Us, heavenly places. Body of Christ. Let's go in here. Last week we left off about being people in the body of Christ being redemptively and not positionally. But Peter, we said, also believes that he will be saved, and we're going to look at that. But so does the Ethiopian eunuch believe that. Go to Acts chapter 8. So does Cornelius believe that. Acts 8. This Ethiopian eunuch had been where? To Jerusalem, one of those feasts, to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's on his way home. But he's reading something from the book of Isaiah. Matter of fact, he's reading Isaiah 53. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip. Now, Philip is one of those men of the seven in Acts chapter 6, as Stephen was. This is not Philip the apostle. This is Philip, one of those seven. Now, so here's what Philip went over to the man in verse 29. Acts 8, 29. Then the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he, the eunuch, says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Come on up here, Philip. So Philip starts reading to the Ethiopian eunuch right where he left off, and he's preaching Jesus to him. He shows the Ethiopian eunuch that Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about the Messiah. You notice I didn't say Savior. And he tells that eunuch, Jesus is the one that Isaiah is talking about. Because even when Isaiah wrote it, the people didn't know who, Isaiah didn't even know who he was writing to or about. If they had him, guess what? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Satan wouldn't have crucified Christ. They just had him known. If Satan had him known. So it was hid, believe me. Acts chapter 8, verse 33. In his humiliation, talking about Jesus Christ, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. You know, you can go back. We're not going to do that. But you can go back and find out when Jesus Christ, I think it's in Luke 24, around, well, let's do it. Let me find it. Go to Luke 24. Just a little bit of it. Verse 44. And he said unto them,
the apostles there,
these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, for all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. They did not understand the scriptures. They were blinded. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And behold, and you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But bury you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endured with power from on high. He never said forgiveness of sins here. He said remission of sins. There's a difference. There's a remission of sins are going to be forgiven in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, when the fountains of cleansings are opened up. But not now. He told them now. That's when Philip knew what to tell the eunuch. Back over here in Acts chapter 8. Well, let's get to 36. Well, 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, somewhere in Isaiah, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, what did Philip say to the man? Did he say, eunuch, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men? Absolutely not. No, he didn't. Did he tell him that Christ died for his sins? No, he did not. Did he say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? No, he did not. Absolutely not. What did he tell him? Go over to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 16. When Christ asked him who he was, who did people say? In 16 he says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, they come to some water, didn't they? That's exactly what the eunuch believed, the same thing Peter believed. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's it. So the eunuch tells Philip something. Here's water. What's to keep me from being baptized? That's what the eunuch asked him. What's keeping, in other words, if you've been following this, what's keeping me from being identified with my Messiah? That's what it is. It's an identification word of baptism. He says, I fear the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What's going to do it? I just came from Jerusalem over there. But you know, he didn't hear God. He didn't hear Peter over there. Why didn't he hear Peter over there? Because he couldn't get into the temple to hear Peter. Why?
We're going to find out. We were talking about this the other day.
Well, Peter was in the temple most of the time, probably keeping a low profile. He was probably kind of, I won't use the word afraid, just keeping a low profile because, you know, Paul was out there laying low. Laying low. Now, the reason the eunuch, in other words, he was either born without his male stones, and I'll clean it up like that, or he had them removed. Now, we know that this eunuch, to keep from messing around with all the women, I don't know if he was born that way, but he was one of the people that worked for Candace. He was in charge, I believe, of the handmaidens over there. So he wouldn't have an opportunity. In other words, he could care less. He wouldn't have been out chasing any of them, you know. So, but no man with a blemish. No man with a blemish or even a crooked nose can go into the temple. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. This is why he couldn't get into the temple.
Besides, he was a Gentile, right?
Pardon?
Besides, he was a Gentile, right?
We don't know.
He was Ethiopian, he had to be.
Well, there's a... Well, he was Jews live in a lot of places, man.
Yeah, he was a Jewish convert, so...
I mean, the assumption is that he's a Gentile.
Yeah, the church is in that.
I'm going to have to show you something. Who do you think? Who do you, if I can find it, it's a barely moment. Who do you think came out of Egypt? You think only Jews came out of Egypt? A mixed multitude came out of Egypt. That means Gentiles came out with the Israelites. Do you know that?
Not just the Jews.
Right, it wasn't that. Okay, we can look at scripture if we want and need to. Where am I at? What am I talking about?
Deuteronomy
23, verse 1. He that is wounded in the stone, or hath his private member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Absolutely not. That's what a eunuch was. You either believe the Bible or you don't. Go to Leviticus 21. Leviticus 21.
Verse 21 also?
Now, you know, I think I'm going to go, it's going to be verse 20, but I want to start in verse 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not...
Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K. Se te pegue. Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K.
Approach to offer the bread of his God. In other words, he didn't go into the temple. A blemish. A hair lip. This is why Jesus Christ, because the kingdom was at hand. He healed everybody. They were perfect as far as a physical blemish. There's not a soul that I know of that he turned down from healing. Because you've got to be perfect to go into the millennial kingdom.
Now, this is of the priesthood, though, right?
So No, anybody going into the temple. 21, I'm starting verse 16, but we're headed somewhere. Verse 18, for whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. In other words, a blind man can't go in. Or a lame man. Remember Acts chapter 3 when Peter healed that lame man? That lame man lay outside that temple. He couldn't even go in it for years. He was born that way.
That's right.
Or he that hath a flat nose. Or anything superfluous. or a man that is broken footed or broken handed, can't do it, or a crooked back, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye. That's not all a priest. Well, you had to make sure you adhere to all of these things. But you couldn't go in if you had a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scab, or have his stones broken. We don't read that. No man hath a blemish, that hath a blemish, verse 21, of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Anyway, that's as far as I need to take it. No man with a blemish or even a crooked nose can go in there. Now this was, as you said, Mary, this right here, this last thing was pertaining to the priest. But it's nobody with a blemish could go into the temple. And I think that's pretty heavy. Now, verse 37.
This class would be
yeah, our class would be, well, be a really hard trouble there.
Aren't you glad you're not a midget?
Woo! I'm telling you, that's what it said. You know what gets me is people out here in this world today, they want to pick and choose the Old Testament, what they believe, and when it comes to something like even selling everything, you know, and bringing it up here. That's what they did to the apostles, sold everything, including Barnabas. But they sold everything. So don't worry about it. The Lord takes care of the lilies. He takes care of the birds. He feeds them. You think you're any better? You know, but anyway. So, he said, the eunuch says, what's to keep me from being baptized, identified with his Messiah? Verse 37 of Acts chapter 3. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Believest what? That Christ is the Son of God. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was the requirement. He does not believe. Now, you didn't see him say, did he? He did not believe that Christ died for his sins, or he'd have said so. He just believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He's not told that. Philip didn't tell him that Christ died for his sins, because Philip doesn't know that Christ died for his sins. And if Philip doesn't know, how can he tell the eunuch? He can't. The eunuch received remission of sins. In other words, the withholding of punishment for sins. Depending on him, out of Matthew 24:13, Mark 13:13, enduring unto the end. What does that mean? Enduring to the end of his life, or until the end of the tribulation. Because we know, I know I have no reason to put these up here, but I'll worry about it later. But we know that the end, we'll just say this is the cross, and Christ was crucified on it for all sins/sins. He was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day according to the scripture for your justification and forgiveness of sin. So we know that right along in here, Peter's preaching. There ain't no body of Christ. So Peter's preaching to the little flock. What are they expecting to happen? The tribulation, that 7 years, that's prophecy. I mean, they know that's going to happen. They believe it too. And then the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, and then the rest of it. Okay, so they don't know anything about this mystery period that we're in, called the body of Christ, the spiritual invisible church going to be set up. They didn't have a clue. That's what he was looking forward to. Absolutely, guys. Now, so he had to endure until the end of his life. Say he was right here when he was preached to by Philip, looking forward to this right here, second coming. That's it. Out of Acts chapter 3. Yeah, we're going to get to that one, I know.
I think Philip believed, I'm talking about Peter, that Christ was really coming back in his lifetime.
Oh, yeah, he did. They all did.
They all did, didn't they?
That's why they sold everything. And everything coming. That's why later on, especially in Acts chapter 11, Paul was not preaching the gospel of salvation at that point in time. But that's why him and Barnabas took food from the back over to Jerusalem. The people were starving to death over there. It was a famine over there. So, either this guy had to endure until this point for his sins to be forgiven, atoned for, or if he died right here, let's say he died right there, and he endured until the end of that life, then dead men no longer sin. And that's why he would be locked up until this time, but he still wouldn't get it until there. But he couldn't lose it anymore. Now, what did he believe? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go to Matthew 24. Well, you ain't got to go there. I just told you what it was. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, here's the thing. Peter doesn't believe that he's saved. No, he doesn't. But that he shall be saved. And he says so. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 10.
Start us up, or
no, I'm just going to read Acts chapter 15, 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Peter says. But James is the boss now. If you want to look at it, the fucking boss, he's in charge of the little flock, the church. To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they shall be as future. I tell you what, let's just go on over there right now. Head saved or something. Let's go over to Peter. Just, you know, 1 Peter. There ain't no boy that shall be saved. Chapter 1. I think I'm going to start in verse 3. We've got a little reading here. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Well, I'm not going to go into what that means right now, but there's a new one coming down, okay? And that's in heaven. And that's why I never knew what he meant. I told you this before. Heaven's not going to touch the ground. It's still called heaven. But anyway, let's continue. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Not yet. Ready to be revealed in the last time. That salvation will be revealed to Peter and the little flock in the last time. It's going to be right there at the same time. Now, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Where? When is he going to get it? At the appearing of Jesus Christ.
That's plain, isn't it?
Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen to this in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's when you're going to get it. At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Go to 13. See if I want to read any more here. Verse 13. Wherefore, he tells these people, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be future brought to you, unto you, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't just say it once. I know he said it three times. That's twice right there in 1 Peter. At the revelation, your salvation, the grace is going to be brought to you right there. It's awesome to see that. It just is. Now, I'm tempted not to do this and just tell you, but let's just go over there real quick. in Acts chapter 2. We're going to run through this quick when we get somewhere else, I think. Acts chapter 2. We're talking about the church at Jerusalem. Based upon Mark 16:18, Jesus Christ will establish his church. It's not the body of Christ he's going to establish. It's the church at Jerusalem, who is the mother of the churches. There were churches in Jerusalem. There were churches all over the place. But the church at Jerusalem, that's where the leader was. It was Peter. Then it was James. But in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So 3,000 people were added to the church at Jerusalem. We already know 12 was in it, probably 13, including, that's not right, 12. Okay, verse 47. How many more people were added? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. There was a church already here, daily, such as should be saved. So he added more people, and it doesn't tell you how much. Go over to chapter 4, verse 4.
Well, it should be saved, just like it is in John 3:16. God so loved the world, whosoever believes in it should not perish. Here it says, should be saved.
Acts chapter 4.
Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K. Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K.
4 verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So now we got at least 8,012 plus whatever the Lord added to back over in 247. Go to 514. We'll move on. In 514, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitude. Now, I don't know what a multitude consists of, but they were multitudes, both of men and women. But see, the eunuch received remission of sins. Whereabouts? Go to Acts chapter 8. Just look and see that word he got here. Acts chapter 8, verse 37 again. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, what? Mayest what? Be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip baptized the eunuch. Why did he baptize him? So that eunuch could be identified with Jesus Christ, who is his Messiah. He never trusted one time that Jesus Christ died for his sins. He trusted that that's the Messiah, that the Psalms was, that and all the law, previewed, the foreshadowing said back in the Old Testament, the prophet said. Go over to Romans 15 then. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. It never said he was a minister of the uncircumcision. It's the Jews for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's what he came for in his earthly ministry, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 16. If you want to know what the greatest commission on earth ever has been, it starts in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14 through 21. That is your commission. The great, so-called great commission Matthew 28, you know, in Mark 16, Luke 24, go out and do it. That ain't the Great Commission for you. If it is, and the world is not even teaching that. Even the ones that are teaching it wrong are not even teaching that. How many times did you see these people go out and pick up servants? Oh, that's what it says you can. I've seen some of them die. Drinking strychnine. Oh, yeah. What? Speaking tongues. That's not for here. That commission that was given there is not for you. If you want to follow that, you'll drop off in hell today if you die. Don't you need the assurity and the eternal life that's guaranteed you? But the big thing is peace with God. You can't have peace unless you have trusted in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected according to the scriptures on the third day to pay for all your sins, to justify you. You've been cleared of all your sins. All you have to do is trust it. You don't do anything. Get up, go over here, do whips. Speaking in your tongues or nothing. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words in my own tongue than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. You know what he said? Sure. I mean that much. Now, verse, where the heck was it? Oh yeah, I was going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Christ's teachings that he taught down here for salvation and he gives to the little flock, you are no longer, henceforth, knowing him no more. Now all of those are going to come back. Because I know what Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says. That the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is going to be taught again. Where are you going to be taught? Right here. If you notice, I ain't got the body of Peter. You cut Romans through Philemon out here in the second half of Acts, and you've got the perfect Bible for the Jews. It's their past, it's their present, it's their future. But that's not what God did. Thank goodness. I'm going to put up a new chart. This is not the way I like to do it any longer, but this is simple. The body of Christ. And I tell you, while I was studying last night, guys, I may have something to show you that I've never seen. Ooh, and it's so simple. I've read it. Ain't going to tell how many times. It's about the new man. Hmm. Oh my goodness. When did the new man start?
The light bulb came on.
Eh? Oh my goodness. You know, that's the way it works. It's, oh, it's fantastic. That's a, what was that term?
Moment of clarity?
No, oofta is like, that's not Norwegian, it's Swedish. That's what it is. So the body of Christ started. Now we're in here. He put prophecy on hold here. There's no prophecy taking place here. Now, see, I'm going to show you something here. And I don't like the way I've got it drawn. Because there was some prophecy. Okay?
Not the Old Testament. Jesus prophecy.
Right. Right. Right.
Not the Old Testament.
Right. Just bear with me on this one. Maybe I'll draw my... what I'm going to do is, unless somebody really needs it, I'm going to take one of these boards and put this new chart on it that most of you have seen. Some of you haven't seen it. And I'm going to keep it back there with it already on it, because it takes a while to draw it up, as you've seen me. But, anyway, we get into, and I want to get into the new man. I want to get into the Jew and the Gentile out of Romans chapter 1, 16. The Jew and the Greek. And I think that's where some of us are at. We're so close on everything. Everybody in here is. Really. Everybody in here is. But there's a couple of little things about where the middle wall and what that is. The middle wall of partition. Once you get that solved, my God, it just opens up. where the body started. And I will tell you, that's pretty well where it's at. If you can get these two resolved, everything fits like a puzzle, man. It's just amazing what happens. It just is. Now, then that 7 years is going to have to take place here in the 1,000-year millennial reign. Okay? Now, you know, I'm not going to talk about the inheritances, but I guarantee you that I'm going to. There's three inheritances, okay? So I've got to talk about that. That's over here.
Is this for the Jews? Is that what you're saying?
No, we've got an inheritance. We're all in the household of God.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're all in the household of God. But anyway, I'll start off with Cornelius a little bit next week before we get into something. and we'll take it from there because it's 4 minutes after.
You leave us hanging.
Yeah, we'll start with Cornelius. We're still talking about the same thing.